Glad y'all are here. It's good to see everybody again. I've really been enjoying just doing this with you guys, and even the feedback has been very encouraging. So I really do appreciate that from you, and just looking forward to keeping going this evening. So let's just open up in prayer and invite the Lord into it. So Father, we just thank you. Thank you for tonight, Lord. I just thank you, God, just for your word and for your presence, Lord. We just ask you, Father, just to lead and guide everything that I say. Help me to get out of the way, Lord. I pray you would just minister your word. You'd minister your truth. I pray it would just be exactly how you would want it to be done, Lord. I just thank you for each life here that is very different but very much valuable to you and called into different areas for you and for your kingdom, Father. So I just ask, Lord, that you would minister to each person in the place where they are in the situations that they face. In Jesus' name, amen. Before I forget, I did want to say that we won't have a ladies' Bible study next week because that is February 14th, Valentine's Day, so not to put any pressure on your respective spouses, but we thought that maybe there was the possibility that you might be busy, so we wanted to not have it next week, but we'll resume the week after that, so just before I forget. But today, we're going to be talking about what it's called is mothering the body, and we're going to be talking just about that and about that aspect of being a woman, so I know, just to recap the past couple of weeks, the first week we talked about being an Ezer and the meaning of Ezer kenegdo, and that was what God had made Eve to be to Adam, to be a helper suitable, a helper fit, someone made just right to be an assistant, to lift up, to push forward the call in his life, and that's what we are within marriage or just within the body of Christ to other people. And then last week, we talked about just the place of submission that we walk in, that as a woman, you know, there are a lot of places of submission that we walk in, but even more than that, there is a place of submission that Christ walked in, and so many people in the Word of God that they walked in a place of submission, and the beauty of God's order in that and his blessing in that. So this week we're going to be talking about Eve and what God made her as a life giver. So let's go back to Genesis chapter 1, and we'll just quickly review the verses there. I just think it's good to repeat these things and just get them in our hearts, just to realize this is the foundation of who we are. This is creation, the very beginning of mankind. So looking at verses 26 through 28. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over livestock, over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the heavens, over every living thing that moves on the earth." So here was mankind, man and woman made in the image of God. He says it a couple of times, in his own image, in the image of God who created him. There's no shadow of a doubt. These two people, man and woman, were made to reflect God. And then moving on to chapter 2 in verse 23, it goes into more detail about the creation of Eve and how she was taken out of Adam's rib and what she was made to be. And this is Adam saying, "This at last is bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." They shall become one, they'll be put together, and they were called to multiply. And obviously, we know just the way God created us to be, that the woman can give birth, hold the baby. Eve, in that relationship, you know, was to hold that life and to be a life giver in that context. And it's interesting to note the things that a woman was called to be were some of the things that were affected with the curse. So looking at Genesis 3:16, if we just want to turn there. God is talking to the woman. This is after she's taken of the fruit. She took authority into her own hands. She didn't submit to those around her. She decided to make her own way, and this is the curse as a result of that. To the woman he said, I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. And as we talked about last week, your desire shall be contrary to your husband, but he shall rule over you. So as a result, you know, this beautiful gift and creation that Eve was in this relationship, this giver of life, this nurturer, this helper, part of that was what was cursed. I will multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. You're going to, you know, you're going to follow your husband as the leader. You're going to struggle with that. You're going to want his authority. You're going to struggle with his authority. You're going to be the bearer, birther, and nurturer of children. You're going to struggle with that. It's going to come with pain and difficulty. And saying that, you know, I want to emphasize, like, I know we're all different. I know all women are different. So I know just even in starting this study out, it could seem like it's starting out in a very narrow way. You know, well, I know we all have very different lives. Some are married, some are unmarried. Some have children, some have no children. Some want children and struggle to have them. You know, it's just, I know that we are all very different, but we're talking about the nature of a woman, not necessarily what your life is at this time or what you have been able to experience. It's what's put in you as your nature. And as a woman, you can call it a generalization if you want, but we have been given a glimpse of the nurturing nature of God in the way that we are inherently nurturing. You know, a little girl, they generally speaking, you know, gravitate towards the little baby dolls. You know, generally speaking, they want to give care. You know, I at this point have just experienced boys, and they definitely gravitate towards manly things. They want to conquer and defeat and destroy, and just, you know, they're little men, out of control men, but you know, the little men, you know. But little girls, like, there's a nature in there that God has put in them, you know, from creation, you know, in the womb. This was something we were talking about last week, but in the womb, as a baby girl, you hold all of the eggs that you're ever going to have. Like, they're already there in the womb. So right now I'm pregnant with a little girl, and she has all of the eggs she will ever have. So technically I'm kind of carrying my grandchildren in part, if you think about it, which is just really cool. But we are born as an infant, as a brand new baby. We are born with the capacity, with the physical makeup to one day bear a child, to nurture a child, to sustain that life. You know, from our own bodies as women, we can hold and nurture life. And the way that we were made, in even that physical sense, is a representation of who God is in himself. You know, we were made in his image. In his image, he created them in his image. You know, very clear. You know, we are made in a way that is supposed to represent his nurturing and his caring and his keeping and his sustaining of life. And it is so corrupted by our culture today. It's so corrupted in every sense by the enemy. There's such an aggressive fight against those beautiful norms that God put in place, you know. But it's all the more important to value it. It's all the more important to understand why we were made, what that looks like, and why it's important, how it reflects the Lord. Because I think so many times it can be, you know, they can say, oh, well, anybody can do that. Even men are capable, you know, and just totally twisted the God-given creation. Or on the other side, they could be saying, well, yes, but it's so demeaning, and that's not all a woman is. And, you know, just it can seem like such a small thing, you know, this caregiving, almost even weak, you know, to embrace that character or that nature in a person. But I love how with each of these aspects of being a woman, it's just something, again, that represents the image of God. So we're just going to explore that a little bit. I'm going to go through several scriptures, so I definitely don't expect you to turn to them, but I can give you the scripture references if you want to jot them down and just meditate on them later. But I want to just look at the Bible and see how God is a nurturer and God is a carer. So in Isaiah 66, 12 and 13, it says, "For thus says the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, the glory of the nations like an overflowing stream. You shall nurse, you shall be carried upon her hip and bounced upon her knees as one whom his mother comforts. So I will comfort you." That's God comparing himself to a mother. "As a mother comforts, I will comfort you." Deuteronomy 32:10. I'm going to skip down to 11. "Like an eagle that stirs up its nest, that flutters over its young, spreading out its wings, catching them, bearing them on its pinions. The Lord alone guided him. No foreign god was with him. He made him ride on the high places of the land. He ate the produce of the field, and he suckled him with honey out of the rock and oil out of the flinty rock, curds from the herd and milk from the flock with the fat of lambs." You know, just goes on to talk about just this great abundance and care. Then Exodus 19, verse 4, he says, "How I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself." There's this constant picture of like a mother bird, or, you know, a nurturing mother with birds in a nest like that. There's a lot of that in Psalm 17, "Hide me in the shadow of your wings." And Psalms 36 and Psalm 61 and Psalm 91, "He will cover you with his pinions," that's like his feathers, "and under his wings will you find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and buckler." And then in the New Testament, some of you might remember this scripture, but Jesus, he's looking at just at where he was at the time, and he said, "Oh, Jerusalem, oh, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it." He was just so grieved in his spirit. They weren't receiving his ministry, you know, and he was so sad. But he said, "How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing." Like his heart, even like a mom, like, "Oh, I want to nurture you. I wish I could just take you in and have you be mine. I want to care for you in this intimate and caring way, but you wouldn't turn to me." And I love that, you know. I just love that attitude that he displays there. In Psalm 27, he says, David's saying, "For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in." You know, and I was thinking about that, about Jesus's attitude and this representation we have of God, of his caring nature that wants to just gather in his people, that wants to care for them, nurture them, you know. And I was just meditating, thinking, like, can we be a mother to those who are forsaken? You know, is that our go-to? Is that yearning allowed to be in our spirit? You know, because that comes from the Holy Spirit. You know, it comes through us. You know, but that nature, are we allowing that to take place? In Psalm 131, David says, I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. You know, and I was just thinking, when we leave people, or when people leave us, do they feel spiritually nourished? Are they better for having been around us? Are they richer from having been around us? You know, it's not to say necessarily every time somebody gets with us, we have some big spiritual sermon to say. Some of those people can be the most draining to be around, to be honest, like, ugh. Just preaching at me the whole time, you know, like, wish you just maybe listen, you know, maybe care about me, you know, rather than preach the whole time. But just, are we the kind of person that can see other people, you know, and can care about what they're going through? Are we the kind of person that even if there's no big weighty situations going on at hand, are people all the better for having been around us, and just because we are walking in a place that allows the Lord to give us his character, to give us his discernment, to give us that nurturing care, you know, is that coming out of our lives? In Isaiah 66, it says, "For thus says the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the nations like an overflowing stream. And you shall nurse, you shall be carried upon her hip, bounced upon her knees." Oh, I read that one, I think. As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. Oh, here it is, Isaiah 49. Can a woman forget her nursing child, that she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I will not forget you. Even a mom with that inherent care and nurturing love, you know, that she has, the Lord is saying, like, he's comparing his love to that and saying it's all the more that. Even a mom in her weakness, you know, may fail in her love, you know, and, but even more than that picture of love that we're so, in a good world, familiar with and understand its intimacy and its closeness, you know, even more the Lord has that affection for you. He has even more of that nurturing care for your life and for others' lives around you. So thinking of that, you know, and thinking of his care, his character, his nurturing affection, just ask yourself, what has been put in front of my life that I can bestow that kind of care on? Who has been put around me that I can display that nurturing affection for? You know, is it, whether it's in your home or in your workplace or even just in our church, you know, we look around, you know, and there's so many people, and, you know, I know some of us may go to different churches, but just when we go to church, are we looking to do that? You know, are we looking to bestow care and nurturing affection on the other people around us? And so saying that, I want to give us a little bit of a challenge. Because some of you are great extroverts, and some of you might be more like me, and I really, as much as it might not make sense to you, like, I'm not, I would be maybe what would be termed like an extroverted introvert. Like, I can be extroverted, and then in other times, I am absolutely not, and I'm not a great fan of talking to, like, brand new people. You know, it's just not one of my favorite things. Other people are like, yeah, I love new people. Who are you? What? Andrew's like that. He can talk to a tree and make it talk back. And I feel like I could talk to a person and turn them into a tree. So like, I just, it's not my gift. But I know that it is a challenge even for me. But could we, this week in church or in the next couple of weeks, find somebody, and it doesn't have to be someone even that you don't know, but maybe it's just somebody that you aren't very familiar with, you know, that you really haven't been able to start a relationship with, and you just really don't know much about them, and just ask them, how can I be praying for you this week? You know, get to know them. Don't be weird about it, you know, don't scare them, but just go up to someone who's not in your little group, you know, who's not in your familiar circle, and expand it, you know, and go to them. You know, I'm reading a book recently, and it was kind of talking about just some testimonies of things like this, where a younger lady went to go visit an older lady in, she was in like a care home, and she's just doing it, being obedient to the Lord, but it started a very mutually rewarding relationship, you know, that blessed both of their lives for many years to come. And that is the point, you know, that is the point. And like we've said in these other weeks that we've had, you cannot live out what God made you to be in representing his image if you do not have relationships. And if we want to grow in what God made you to be and expand that and just do all we can for the kingdom before eternity comes, which looks like it's getting really close, would we not want to expand that ministry and just talk to other people? You know, would we not want to just see if there's more people that could benefit from what the Lord has put in us? You know, because he has put something in each one of us. He's put experiences in each one of our lives. We have all come through life up to a certain point, and life is hard, no matter who you are or from what angle you've come into life. You know, we all have a life experience, and it's all put things in us, and the Lord can use those things for ministry. Even the hardest things, even your most rotten failures, the Lord can absolutely use those things for his glory. He's just good at that. You can just trust him with that. But the challenge for you is go and talk to someone you don't know. maybe even ask them to get coffee with you that week. I know, it's just, it's very scary, but it's great. You know, go somewhere interesting, talk about the pastries, you know, talk about coffee, but just get to know people, you know, expand your horizons, expand the ministry of the Holy Spirit that is in you. Don't hinder what the Lord would want to do. The whole point is that we would create nurturing relationships. You know, in the Bible, you won't see a service schedule, but you will see people going from one another's houses and breaking bread. You know, you're not going to see necessarily this big structure like stand up, sit down. You know, that's what I grew up with. Like, oh, they play the first line of the song and then you stand up, you know, not before then. Otherwise, that's awkward. You know, there's just so much structure. And I know in our church, it's structure is good and structure is orderly. But, you know, I love in our church that we're not bound to it, you know. But the whole point isn't that we would come together on a Sunday and leave before the last song is ended. You know, the whole point is that we would get together as the body of Christ and pour into one another's lives. And that's where that ministry, the image of God that has been put in you, will be displayed. I'm going to read a quote to you. It says, "The essence or goal of nurturing is to take frail, vulnerable life and create an environment where life can come to full intended form. However, it is important to note that all people are in need, even those who appear strong and seemingly have it all together benefit from being nurtured." Don't assume anyone has it all together. I think some of the people you see being most active in ministry are probably the most attacked. You know, they're the ones that the enemy wants to weigh down with either just spiritual attacks, emotional health, whatever it is. There can be a weight of depression. There's judgment. There's a real desperation to hear the Lord. It's a heavy weight of responsibility. You know you're representing the Lord. You know what you're doing, you know, could affect other people's lives. And they're very needy of the Holy Spirit. You know, it's a very vulnerable place to be. So as you look around the church, you know, basically everybody there could use your ministry. Everybody there could use your encouragement. And I'll read this other quote to you. "Christ became a consumable. His body was broken and his blood was poured out to bring life, comfort, hope, security, and nourishment to frail, vulnerable, weak people." Think about how a woman nurses. You know, in my experience, that is the most ravenous time. It is a real necessity to intake to support the outtake, you know. And I know not everybody maybe even had success in this area. I know it can be a very, very challenging to breastfeed. I definitely experienced that with my first son. But I know Wendy's pumpkin muffins at like 2 a.m. really was just such a core memory for me. Like, nothing tastes as good as when you're breastfeeding at 2 a.m. and you're just so hungry. It's just like, this is the best muffin I've ever had. It was so great. I've never eaten so much in the night hours of my life, but it was necessary, you know, because there was this output, you know. And Psalm 34:8 says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him." John 6:35, Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." His life became your life. His inheritance became your inheritance. His status became your status. His resources and strength became your resources and strength. And through this divine act of nurturing, Christ enabled you to become more of who God created you to be. That is the heart of nurturing. Christ gave you his ability to nurture. Like, and there is a need for us to intake him so that we can pour that out, you know, because that is what we're called to do. You know, we're not called to just sit there and exist. We're called to pour out. So there is a demand on us to take him in. But that is a question, you know, are we living as a consumable? Can someone, in a way, taste from our lives and see that the Lord is good? Is there substance in us that other people can say, I am nourished by them? You know, it doesn't have to be some great big teaching. It doesn't have to, you don't have to be some fount of knowledge. But is there, and I feel like we can all think of people that are that way. You know, they don't necessarily have some sermon. They don't have, you know, just maybe some, they don't write songs, you know, but they are someone that you can be around and just say, I love them. The Lord is good in them. And it inspires me. I often think of Rebecca Harris, you know, and just being around her is just like, it's just absorbing Jesus. You know, I remember trying to call her to encourage her, you know, and just see how she's doing. And she's just preaching to me and encouraging me and asking about my kids and, you know, really just very sweet and encouraging. I'm like, I called to encourage you, but like, I feel so edified, you know, and just, she's just is that way. And there's other people that are just that way. You know, they're just so full of Christ. And they're consuming him that when you're with them, you are tasting of that in their lives. And it is so inspiring. It's just asking the Lord, God, what are you putting into me that you want to bring out? You know, what is it that you are feeding me in a sense through life and through experience that you want me to teach other people? So let's think about that. You know, what does nurturing look like in the day-to-day life of a woman? And practically, how is a woman consumable and a source of life for another? You know, and it can just be very practical. And I think sometimes these are the things that we think are not exciting, or the enemy can make us feel like they're not important or they're not impactful, but just simply attentive care for one another. I love the food ministry we have as a church. I just think that is one of the most motherly, nurturing things one could do. You know, it's so awesome. Everybody loves Fran's chicken pot pies. We were talking about those just a few minutes ago. Like, amen. If anything was anointed, it's those. But just service, prayer for one another, you know, encouraging one another. In Romans 12, verse 1, it says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. If there was a verse that really encapsulated being a consumable, I think it would be that one. Just being a living sacrifice. And I want to read verses 3 through 8 of that chapter. It's Romans 12. I'll just go there real quick. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. And I want to touch on that verse. You know, it says having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. I used to think of that as like, oh, well, some people get more, some people get less. I don't think that should be the focus. I think it should just be, what is the grace that is given to you? What kind of grace? Like, what is God asking you to do and giving you the grace to carry out? If prophecy, in proportion to our faith, if service, in our serving, the one who teaches, in his teaching, the one who exhorts, in his exhortation, the one who contributes, in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. So it's just talking about all these different gifts, all these different ways we can serve, all these different ways we can function in the Spirit. To be a consumable, be consumed, be a living sacrifice, give life, you know, be someone who is consumed with that act of giving out for the Lord. You know, is that what consumes my life? Is it what consumes my thoughts and my prayer life? You know, is it what I long to do? We're so honored, you know, we're so privileged to just be born again, to have an eternal outlook on life. You know, honestly, on the way here, sometimes I'll do it, you know, Andrew and I have talked about it, you know, I'll just kind of enter into the mindset of, what if I wasn't going to ladies' Bible study right now? You know, even if I was just going to listen, you know, what if I wasn't? And I saw everybody's going home from work and they're pulling into their driveways. And I just thought, some people don't have anything right now. They're just going to go and watch a show. And maybe they'll go to the store and get some ice cream. You know, like some people really just, they don't have that. They're not born again. They think that's life. You know, but I I get to go and be with my sisters in Christ. You know, I get to go and talk about things that are eternal and matter forever, and fellowship around the Holy Spirit and enjoy His presence. Like, this is something that's going to impact eternity. It's, how exciting is that? You know, like, we get to live that life. And it should consume us, because it's such an honor. You know, we're only here for a short amount of time. We don't even know how long that is, and we certainly don't know when the Lord may come back, you know. But while we have this time, are we consumed with the kingdom of God? You know, are we consumed with mothering the body, reaching out to other people around us, the lost and the saved? You know, is that our heart? It doesn't mean you just need to be busy. You know, it's not, being busy and being consumed with the kingdom of God are not the same thing. You know, being busy isn't holy. You know, it doesn't mean just fill your schedule and be doing things, you know, but it does mean having an intimacy with the Lord. It means being with Him so much that He comes out in one way or another and on a consistent basis. It's being consumed with Him. And then his work and His Spirit will consume you and come out. So let's think about some women in the Bible who were consumed with the Lord. They were consumable and they were nurturing. So I'm going to go through several examples here. And again, you don't have to go to all of the scripture references, but you certainly can write them down. And we all know the story of Ruth and how she left her homeland to go with Naomi, her mother-in-law, and really just served and ministered to Naomi. She literally worked in the cornfields to supply food for them as a family. She cared for her. She went with her. She was so committed to this woman. And in chapter 2, verse 10, Boaz is really given her a lot of favor. He's the handsome guy in the field that, you know, spoiler alert, she ends up marrying later. And so he gives her a lot of favor. He gives her a lot of benefits in the field alongside his servants, even though she's a foreigner. And she said, "Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me since I am a foreigner?" But Boaz answered, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me, and how you left your father and mother and your native land and came to a people that you didn't know before. The Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." Ruth had been a nurturer to Naomi, and then in turn was really just nurtured by the Lord in such an amazing way. And I'm going to read to you just a quote about her. It says, "Through the nourishment and nurturing that Ruth provided, Naomi became more of the Ezer God created her to be. By utilizing her God-given capacity to nurture, Ruth led Naomi from a place of despair to renewed hope, from a place of weakness and need to a place of strength. Because Ruth did not cling tightly to protecting or promoting herself, but gave of herself sacrificially, Naomi moved from a place of humiliation to exaltation, hailed by the women of the town. Generations were changed because of Ruth's boldness and because of her care for Naomi." You know, Ruth received the Lord's blessing. Ruth ended up being in the lineage of Christ. She ended up being the grandmother of David. And, you know, she had a wonderful marriage and a son, and, you know, just what a blessing, you know. But she had to sacrifice so much first. You know, she had to obey the Lord, you know, and follow Him. And she did. She gave up her homeland. She was consumed by that call, you know, but in turn, she was blessed. I know last week we talked about Mary, you know, who was called to bear the Lord Jesus, you know, and Luke 1:35, the angel told her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you." Again, it makes me think of those wings, that nurturing care of the Lord. "Therefore, the child shall be born, will be called Holy, the Son of God." And then verse 38, she said, "And Mary said, 'Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. I will be consumed by this call. I will give up my reputation. I will face the scorn of society. I will possibly be rejected by my fiance, but I will say yes to you. You know, and she was chosen to nurture Christ himself. You know, everything about her life was just turned upside down for the rest of her life. But she is remembered for eternity, and she is such an example to all of us, because we are all called to bear something for the Lord. We're all called to bear a work of Christ that is of the Holy Spirit. We're all called, you know, possibly to sacrifice socially. You know, we're all called maybe to make what would be culturally a difficult or awkward decision, you know, but there is something working in us as women and as members of the kingdom of God, you know, that is eternal, that has purpose, that is valuable, you know, that is no less than anybody else's. You know, it's a work of nurturing and being consumed. Lydia was another lady in the Bible. In Acts 16:14, she was a seller of purple who was a worshiper of God, and she was baptized, and basically her immediate reaction to being saved was, come to my house and stay. This was the thing that she could do. This was the thing that she could offer. Like, I can give you hospitality. And then later in verse 40, it says, so they went out of the prison and visited Lydia, and they saw the brothers. And so she gave them a place where they could stay, where they could visit, where they could have ministry. You know, and hospitality is a work of the kingdom. It's a work that literally nourishes and provides for people. It's in 1 Peter 4, verses 9 and 10, it says, show hospitality to one another without complaining. It's an instruction. You should do it. It's not an option. It's not just for one person or another. Some people are, you know, may do it a lot more than others, or, you know, do it in different ways. But just show hospitality. It doesn't necessarily mean it has to look like a big grand dinner. You know, you don't. It's just showing hospitality. Get with that person. Get them a coffee. You know, just why don't you all get some $5 hot and ready pizza, you know, and just after church, whatever it is. But as good stewards of the manifold grace of God, each of you should use whatever gift he has received to serve one another. What has been put in your hands? What are you capable of? What capacity do you have? What do you have that you can offer that could be consumed by someone else? Other women that were nurturers were Timothy's mother and grandmother. In 2 Timothy 1:5, it says, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that first dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you. You know, they had that motherly influence, most likely had to, you know, spend time on nurturing and caring, you know, for Timothy rather than their own selfish pursuits. As a mom, as a discipler of anybody, you know, it requires a sacrifice. You know, the more you want to pour in to your kids, it requires basically you pouring less into yourself. You know, it's not so much self-sustaining. You know, it's being consumed with the work of the Lord. You know, and even as moms, there's so much today on the internet that talks about mom guilt and, like, a lot of, like, I think it could be looked at as condemnation, but a mom or a dad even could go to bed at night and they're just riddled with all of these thoughts of failure, you know, or I should have done this, I should have done that. And, you know, the internet's so loud about saying, you should not feel like that. You are doing a great job. And it's true. And some people really do need to hear that. Some people really do need to be encouraged. Hey, you are doing great. You know, your house is kind of dirty, but, like, you sustained 3 lives today. And that's really all that matters, you know. But at the same time, maybe what you're feeling that evening is actually conviction, you know, and not to push that away. Maybe what you're feeling that evening is actually the Holy Spirit trying to tell you, you should have spent more time with your kids today. Or, you know what, you should have picked up your house some more today for the sake of your husband. You know, like, maybe you should have. You know, it's for you to discern that. And the Lord, he doesn't condemn and he doesn't crush, so you can tell the difference with those voices. But there's a cost. You know, there's a cost to being a godly mother. It will cost you your selfish pursuits. It's going to cost you your time. It's going to cost you what you wanted to do, you know, and it's going to cause you to pour more into others around you. Another woman in the Bible, in Romans 16:1, a lady called Phoebe. And Paul is writing to the Romans, and he said, I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant, or another word for that could be a deaconess of the church. And I can't say the name, but it starts with a C, that you may welcome her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints and help her in whatever she may need from you, for she has been a patron of many and of myself as well. Here's a woman who's just being lifted up and exalted for service, for assisting, for being a deaconess, just assisting, helping in whatever way that was that she was called to do. She obviously was well reputed. She obviously did it with a good attitude. She obviously did it when it was needed, when she was called upon, when she wasn't called upon, and obviously did it with wisdom. You know, she wasn't doing it for show. Another lady that was consumed with the work of the Lord is in Acts 9. Her name was Dorcas, and it's in verse 36. It says there was in Joppa a disciple named Tabitha, which is translated means Dorcas. She was full of good works and acts of charity, and she passed away. And so Peter rose, and he went there, and they all went into the room, and there are people, widows, standing and weeping, and they were showing him tunics and other garments that she had made when they were with them. She just was serving. She was what was in her hand, what was her capacity. She could make clothes. She made tunics. It consumed her time, and she clothed a church, and when she died, there was this great testimony, and the Lord did do a miracle and raised her from the dead, which was awesome. But she was consumed, you know, and that was when she died, that's what people had to say. She clothed our bodies, you know, like she was full of good works. This woman was consumed with the care of the body of Christ. She mothered the body. And I love all these examples. I know there are so many more. And I just want to look at one last one. And it's in Proverbs 31. I know we're all very scared to turn to this lady at times, but I promise you, it's going to be okay. I'm not going to go through this whole thing, especially for time's sake. You know, it is a really wonderful chapter. It's not scary if you look at it from the perspective of a woman who was given over to the grace of God, and a woman who did it over a lifetime. You know, it wasn't all done in a day. She didn't build this sort of great repertoire and empire over 6 months. You know, it was just her life. It was what emitted from her. And I just want to touch on a couple of the verses. So in verse 10, an excellent wife who can find, she's far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her. He will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. And I just thought about that. You know, what she did him good and not harm. You know, what could be the possible harm? You know, in what ways could she have dragged down her household? And I'm sure we could all think of a many number of examples, and maybe some of us have lived them out, or we have watched them, you know, in different situations. Maybe we were raised in situations like that. But I was especially thinking about in the body of Christ and what we're called to be as a member of the body of Christ. Are we doing it good or harm? Are our words helpful or harmful? Do we discourage or do we lift up? Do we talk about ourselves or do we seek to hear what other people have to say and what's going on in their lives? When we see a need, whatever that may be, are we drawn to it in that motherly, instinctive way? Or do we say, I want to go to that need even though I don't necessarily know how to counsel it, or I don't have the provision to answer it, but are we drawn to things in that way? Do we want to do it good, or do we pull away? Are we, you know, just so consumed with our lack, maybe our insecurity, or just our self-image, you know, that we hinder the Lord? Because we can. Even that insecurity can be something we hinder the Lord with. You know, because it's just caring about yourself. And I know this is something I have dealt with, that I still deal with, you know, like, oh, Lord, help me not to hold back simply because I am afraid. of stepping out for you. Maybe there's somebody the Lord is just telling you, go and give them this scripture, or just go and pray for them. And you'd be like, I don't know how to pray for them. Like, well, just go. So why don't you just start? Like, do the first thing and go over there. You know, you can just pray and be quiet, you know, and just, or whatever it is, just go and encourage that person. Those seem like such simple things, but they are so impactful. And I know we can all think of moments and people in our lives that have been that and have been so necessary. Even, honestly, this past Sunday, I was just a bit weary Sunday evening due to some things. And I knew that also the enemy was attacking me. I knew it was the enemy, you know, and I knew the enemy knows your fears and he will bring them up. Whatever it is, like, we all have certain things that we are afraid of that give us concern, you know, whatever it is. And so he'll just bring it up. And so I knew it was him. And I told the Lord, I was very honest with him, like, Lord, but this, it is legitimate, you know, like, it's a possibility, you know, here lays this thing, Lord. And so I just was honest with him. And then lo and behold, somebody came up and they just prayed for me, and they just prayed very simple things. They didn't know what was going on, but I knew the Lord through them just spoke to me and brought me encouragement that I needed, and I received it. And I was like, I see that is you. I thank you. I really needed that. And what an honor for that person to get to be that. You may never even know you get to be, maybe in such a poignant moment perhaps, but what an honor to get to be that way, to be nourishing the body in that way, nurturing them, caring for them, in a way being almost like the eagle's wings, you know, and covering them with that encouragement and just faith, building up each other's faith. In verse 13, it says, she seeks wool and flax, and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. It's intimidating, but if you just think about it this way, it's just being productive, and it looks different for all of us. I'm glad I'm not asked to wake up in the night and do those things. Like, I'm so grateful, and praise the Lord, and I don't have to be condemned because he's not asking me to do it, you know. And if he did, he'd give me the grace and energy and know-how, you know. But are we just being productive, you know? And it looks different for us all, but with what the Lord is asking of us, are we being active? Do we think, you know, how can I benefit my home and my husband? How can I further the ministry of the kingdom in my church? How can I build the house of God? Like, God, how can I be a part of this? It's just having willing hands. You know, you're not doing it for gain. You're not doing it for competition. It will always come with the blessing of the Lord. You know, it will be blessed by him. It will come with his encouragement. And it will then, in your times of need, you will be blessed, you know, because you've just been diligent to serve him. You know, and just like this lady did, she went to great lengths. She went to great lengths to benefit her household. She did things that was hard work, you know, and that's what the Lord, if we are given to him, you know, he'll give us the grace to even go to great lengths. You know, the Bible talks about being second mile people. You know, somebody asks for you to go 1 mile, go with them too. You know, and that's not our nature. You know, it's absolutely not my natural nature, you know, to do more than I'm being asked for. But if I'm given to the Lord and being consumed with him, you know, that's what's going to come out of our lives. And again, I feel like we all know people like that. There's a beautiful book, by a lady called Isabel Kuhn, and it's just called Second Mile People. And she doesn't really say their names, but it's just every chapter is a different person she's come across in her life that was just that way. And they just did extra for the Lord, and they just were such an inspiration to an example to her. And it's such a beautiful book. I highly recommend it because it's just so inspiring. People that did very simple things, people that were just simply so encouraging, people that maybe they just faced something so horrific, you know, but there was, for one example, a woman who was on the mission field and she was swimming with her husband, and there was a horrible accident, but she was drowning. He ended up rescuing her, but he drowned and died. And the natives of the place came around, and she was there over his body, and in that moment stood up and just started to preach the gospel to them and used this situation to minister the gospel. You know what, like, what a second mile person, like, what an opportunity. That was the grace of God. You know, like, that was a miracle. Like, when we are asked to do something, God will give the grace to do it. But just what an amazing testimony, you know. It's an honor to get to represent the nature of God. It's an honor to let him move through our lives and have that impact. And 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 to 5, it said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God." What are you enduring right now? Or what have you endured? What is God teaching you? How is he squeezing you? What is coming out? What are you seeing about yourself? What are you needy of? How are you being sanctified? Or how are you being pushed? What is being put in you instead of those things that maybe are being squeezed out? You know, what is before you that God is asking you to tend and to nurture? Who do you know that is hurting? Maybe there's some people you know are hurting that others don't. What pain have you learned from? It's all important. Nothing is wasted. That is what another wonderful just reality of being a daughter of the Lord is everything you go through is useful to the Lord. Is he can anoint it and turn it around for good, even when it's your failure. Everything that you endure, he can make rich and turn it around, and you can, just like a mother would nourish her child, you can turn around and give that to someone else and say, "I understand your pain. I want to help you." It's not necessarily, and I think we have to be cautious. You know, sometimes people can open up with their pain, and then we can respond with what our experience, and they don't really get to share their heart. And all of a sudden, you're just talking about what you went through. I think that's just something to be aware of and to be careful about. But if there is someone who is in need and in pain, and you understand those feelings, you understand that loss, you understand that sickness, you understand that rejection, you know, you understand that difficult upbringing, you know, or those scars, whatever it is, God can take your experience and anoint it with the things that he put in you at the time to minister to other people going through those things or things that are similar. But again, it does depend on relationships. We have to be close to one another if we want to nurture each other. We have to understand and know other people's situations if we actually are going to get the honor and benefit of pouring into them and praying for them, blessing them in whatever way that is. You know, we're all different. The way we nurture and nourish other people will be different. Our approaches will be different. Our personalities are different. And that is great. And that is necessary. Not everybody is going to be Fran, and not everybody is going to be Deborah. Not everybody's going to be a Wendy, but all of us are needed in different ways. You know, praise God for Pams, because, you know, if the finances of the church were left to me, we'd be in the street probably. Pam knows what I'm talking about. Anyway, it's just not my strength, okay? But, you know, we're all made different, and we're all made to care in different ways, and it's awesome, and it's an honor. And I read to you just a last quote. "Nurturing is not self-centered. It comes from a posture of humility. To nurture like Christ involves a willingness to humble yourself and deplete your resources, your energy, and your life on the behalf of another. Nurturing is loving others as well, loving others well at your own expense. It is not patronizing or accidental. It requires wisdom and strength. It requires knowledge, thought, and action. When healthy, nurturing creates an environment where dependence is temporary and culminates in maturity, like a mother and her child." You know, we're not supposed to create followers, and we don't make people for ourselves. You know, we don't just have someone that's our person at church that, you know, we adopt and they're our person. Like, no, we nurture people. You know, they're to get stronger and maybe in turn nurture you one day, or just be someone that nurtures other people. You know, we're not supposed to create a following. We're not always going to be the person in the lead. But we are, that's the beauty of it. You know, that's nurturing at its core. It's raising others up so that they can be that. You know, if as a mom, that's what you want for your kids, to get out of your house, but to grow up and be independent. Leland's constantly telling me, you know, when I'm a man, I'm going to do this, and he's going to marry his own Leah. It's very flattering to me. And Ezra's going to marry me, so I don't know how to... But anyway, I'm just going on a mom tangent right now. I'm sorry, that had nothing to do with anything. But the whole point is that we raise people up to go and be that. You know, we don't create a following. So it's an honor, you know, to get to represent the Lord in that way. That's what He does to us. You know, the Lord doesn't want us to stay at a certain stage. He doesn't want us to stay at a certain point of maturity. He wants us to grow up so we can work in His kingdom all the more. You know, we're not supposed to just stay at a certain stage, and it's by His grace. You know, we can't make ourselves that. We can't produce anything, but we can just be consumed with Him and be drawn into intimacy with Him. And I'm very excited. I know it's on the heart of Pastor Lee right now for us as a church even to grow in that. And we're going to have a prayer conference coming up really next month. It's just in 6 weeks. And that's a big part of His heart, is growing in that intimacy with the Lord, growing in prayer. And the whole point is that we would be then able to serve Him and able to stand in a day where it's getting harder and harder to do so. And then as we do that, as we're consumed with Him, we can be someone who can be consumed by others. So let's pray. Lord, I just thank You, Father. Thank You for Your word. I thank You, God, that You were consumed first. You gave Your life, Lord, and we can partake of You anytime, anywhere, all day long. You said, come unto Me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Lord, You constantly pour out Your spirit of comfort, Lord. You answer our prayers, even the small and silly ones, Lord. You're so attentive. You're so caring. Lord, You are the life giver, Lord Jesus, that saved us, Lord. And I pray, God, we in turn would be that to other people, that You would anoint us in the different places we walk, Lord, as women, as mothers, as friends, as sisters, as members of the body of Christ, Lord, that we would strive side by side for the benefit of Your kingdom, and we would see other people be, and we would see beyond ourselves, Lord Jesus, and that we would be people that could be consumed for Your glory, Lord. We just thank You. Thank You for Your word. Thank You for Your presence. We thank You. You're the one who has to do it, and You will do it as we ask You, Lord. Thank You, God. Amen.